One, two, three.
And
okay.
And
we're off.
Guess what?
Guess what?
We're back.
Coming in from outer space.
The comeback tour you didn't know you didn't want.
But coming to a town near you.
Yes, on all platforms is the reboot of Alders Up Witches podcast, but we've changed the name to reflect consistency across the brand because consistency is our brand.
Yes, not chaos. Not chaos magic.
Never.
We are now going by the Living Altar podcast.
I think that's wonderful.
It sounds really nice, doesn't it?
It sounds really on brand.
It does. It really does. It's like, we're just getting everything on board. We're like lining up the ducks in a row. We're here, we're queer, and we're ready to talk about magic.
Be an exciting little journey.
Yes, are you ready to go on this journey? Yay!
I'm ready.
I'm ready, personally.
They're ready.
Yes, spirit, take the wheel. I'm in the back seat. I don't know about you, but...
I feel like I'm strapped to the hood of the car, like those big giant busts on ships.
Oh my gosh, like the Titanic?
Do you imagine?
Oh my gosh, you're like Rose at the front of the ship. You're like...
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm in the back of the truck. Like, I'm like, you know, when you're a teenager and you're like, riding around town in the back of the truck, causing trouble. That's where I'm at.
Hell yeah.
Spirit's driving the truck. I'm having a good time.
we're on our way to the carnival.
Exactly. Well, we're so excited to dive in. Today, we're going to be talking about solstice magic. We're going to be doing a really fun little interview with some spirits. We're going to be talking about pride and the history of pride. And we're going to talk a little about ritual, all things gay. So shall we dive into our first segment?
Space Daddy, would you be so kind as to... share with us some fun facts about solar magic and the solstices, the solstice.
Yes. So we're, you know, really wanting to bring forward some solstice magic as our first kind of comeback tour of the podcast. Can we start calling it the pod?
The pod, sure.
Yeah. Just like, the yeah. Pod. Yeah.
The pod.
In the Northern Hemisphere, we're approaching the solstice, which is on June 20th, the 21st, and is typically a time of celebration. It is where the sun's energy is at its strongest. We have the shortest night, so we have the longest day, and the earth and the sun are at its fullest, so we're coming into the harvest period, so we're in this abundance, strength. We can work with the elements through altar creation and, you know, charging different things in the sun. We can really call upon that solar energy to, you know, direct it into different areas of our life. Typically, the solstice was around the time of Litha. The Litha is a tradition that is celebrated at the summer solstice, and there's an emphasis on the elements of fire and water. And this was began at the time where crops were growing, you know, in this heat of the sun. water was required to keep them alive, also called midsummer. It's a time where there's this fertileness, this abundance, this bounty of growing life. This was often a time during, you know, the summer solstice, Litha, midsummer, where rituals were done for fire cleansing. And oftentimes this was a time where people would do love spells or hand fasting, which is the traditional pagan marriage ceremony. This is also a really great time to harness the solar energy for spells of abundance to direct towards our harvest for this upcoming, you know, second half of the year. And in basically any ritual that celebrates the elements and the earth. Some, you know, traditional European rituals could include setting large wheels on fire, rolling them down the hills into bodies of water. So some herbs that are often worked with at the summer solstice, Litha, midsummer, are sunflowers, which is that, you know, bright yellow, big energy, rose, chamomile, mugwort, yarrow. Oak is a really great tree to be working with, and St. John's wort. Symbols that typically represent this time are bonfires, sun wheels, birds, bees, butterflies, anything that represents transformation and growth. We're going to get into the tarot aspects of this, but tarot cards that I associate during this time are the Sun, the Four of Wands, the Chariot, and the Page of Cups. So solar magic is really fun because solar magic is this really great way to work with the celestial body, the star of our solar system here. I also want to note, I really like working with solar magic with the sun that's at the center of our galaxy. It's kind of fun to think about working with different suns that are even like outside of our solar system and working with solar magic in that way too. The sun, we can work with it and meditate with it, charge with it to enhance and expand and bring growth and creativity into our workings. So solar energy is very creative. It's very expressive. So it's really fun to, yeah, explore different ways you can harness it to, you know, enhance your artistic practice, your meditative practice, your ritual work. And the summer solstice, Litha, is a really great time to be doing that.
I love this idea of cosmic solar polyamory.
Yeah. I love working with like different suns.
Thank you. justified as mine.
I want to talk about working with solar magic in the realm of healing rituals and working with magic as a healing modality. The process of moving magical energy, energy from the natural world, vital force energy through our body, through our hands, as a means of ameliorating pain and suffering within us and within others and within community. But I love imagining the sun as this generous cosmic living fire that gives us wisdom and knowledge around nourishment and destruction. Working with the energy of the sun for the purpose of laying hands, what I enjoy doing is, particularly in the summer months, so I like to wake up around dawn and I'll open my hands up to the sun. And I like to just allow the warmth to enter into my body and fill me up and move through me. And you could also do this at various times in the day. Spending time in the energy of the sun at various parts of the day allow us to get a better understanding of how energy rises, how energy fills, how energy transmutes, and also how energy can be released. So at the beginning of laying of hands, I imagine that the sun is rising up through me, and the energy of the sun and the illumination that it brings is gradually increasing until it reaches a crescendo of high noon, and then it begins to recede and quiet and pull all of that transformed energy out of myself, out of the person, back into itself to be transmuted through night into something that will replenish and nurture the next morning. Do you work with the sun like that?
Yeah, I do. I actually really enjoy clearing with the sun. I do a lot of visualizations with the sun. I really love working with solar magic. And one of them is that, not necessarily that process in particular, but I typically imagine it going into the crown of my head and coming from above. And I also do a lot of visualizations of like imagining the sun behind like my solar plexus and radiating outward, or, you know, above the crown of my head, and, or like in the sky. And then it kind of like a waterfall pouring over me.
I really love that. The sun, and also just the witch's relationship with magic in general, is so personal, and how each of us come to points of access in magic very differently, for often very similar purposes. Something that I want that makes me think of too is the way that when we come to relationship in magic as witches with these forces of nature, it's important to let ourselves recognize the power of that force of nature or that spirit, recognize their power reflected in us. Like, what about, like, what within us is responding to this power, this force of nature, and what within us is that force of nature responding to? Like, what's calling us to each other? And for the sun, in terms of healing, particularly the laying of hands, I imagine that the sun speaks to us about our capacity to nurture and nourish, and also to destroy, and how that can also be energy that we familiarize ourselves with during these heights of solar power, or even in winter during the winter solstice. The sun takes us so far down deep inside of ourselves that in the shadow of its absence, we're also having to reflect on what nourishment, what destruction means. And I imagine this this growing and nurturing and replenishment to ripening, and then the waning into death as also part of the power of the sun that we move through us when we are engaging in healing work. So maybe a recommendation for folks, allow yourself to think about how can you use this energy to replenish yourself and others, to maybe clear obstacles or transform, or at least clear obstruction from the circumstances. I really enjoy the way that solar magic stimulates all of my senses and how healing that is and how just how erotic that is.
I really love that because it reminds me of like charging yourself in the sun. It's like you're a battery. I work with the sun in charging, you know, different objects and things I work with in ritual. So I'd love to share like a couple tips around that. I really love charging water in the sun and working with that water on my altar or in ritual. Even drinking the water is really nice to bring that sun into my body. And then working with charging objects, so like, you know, stones or tools, oils, you know, different items that I'm working with in my ritual practice. I love to charge in the sun and charge up with that like brightness, that radiance, that like the sun is so, I love what you're saying about like it being destruction, because it's like destruction and creation are just two sides of the same coin. So working with the sun through like art practices is really fun, like charging the water and then like painting with the water, or if you're doing like watercolors or charging, you know, your tools or supplies in the sun is really fun. And then also I wanted to talk about charging with the cards from the living altar. So for listeners at home, if you have a living altar oracle deck, you can pull out those cards too and charge with the cards. So I wanted to just share the spell of midday, because midday would be a really great card to work with, or even like the day spell, or summer fire could be a great one to work with. You could work with celebration, which is the point on the wheel of Litha. But I wanted to share midday. So the spell of midday says, I commit to boldly showing up to the opportunities that challenge me to become. My fire and my passion for life is renewed daily. I am catalyst. I wisely choose accountability to my impact. My choices are the hearth of my evolution. I show up with courage to tend that cauldron of creation daily.
I love the plug for the Living Altar Oracle deck.
Yes. And if you don't have a deck, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. No.
But you know what? Here's the reality of being a
Did you say soulpreneur?
Soulpreneurs of micro businesses. I want to read some quotes from Rachel Pollack, who joined the Trans Ancestors recently. And she says, under the sun, everything becomes simple, joyous, and physical. The light of the unconscious brought into daily life as an embodiment of the true self. The sun-struck person sees everything, each person, each animal, all the plants and rocks, even the very air alive and holy, united through the light that fills all existence. I think it's so sweet. The card of the sun is a joyful card. It's a celebratory card. It's a unity card. It's a prideful card. It's a card that, as an archetype, says, hey, who's in my garden and why are you here? But yeah, this idea of the sun being this optimistic, queer, and immortal spirit that is constant in its observation, reflection, and encouragement.
I love also the illumination that the sun brings. There's this, like, you can see everything. Everything is present, you know, with the sun. And yeah, I love that concept of, like, the garden imagery of, like, all right, everything is being shown, you know, like, we're seeing all at this point in time.
Yes. And we're seeing all that has remained or emerged more honest as a result of multiple initiatory experiences where we've had to turn and face things that we ignored, avoided, things that are, that we have cast in shadow from neglect or abandonment, secrets or other sorts of adversities that have been unearthed and overcome throughout the journey of the major arcana. And then we get to the sun and the sun's like, all right, this is what we're working with, you know? Yeah. But Space Daddy, would you mind to guide us through a little meditation to activate that solar energy within us?
Yes, I would love to. So if you're at home, I'll invite you to just come into the space. You can soften your gaze or close your eyes. You can have your eyes open. If you're driving, stop the car.
Pull over to the nearest pizza, the nearest cruising site, the nearest rest stop bathroom. You sniff your poppers, relax, and listen to the dulcet tone. Take a load off. Yeah.
You deserve it. Come on in. I'll just have you just soften your gaze, or you can close your eyes. You can also have your eyes open. You can be in the sun while you're doing this. And I'll have you just for a moment to envision the sun in the sky. We're also going to invite in any other suns from beyond the solar system that wish to be present. I wish I knew how many suns there were in the entire universe, but I feel like it's a lot, and you can just invite in other suns that feel right and appropriate. So imagine these suns in the sky right above you, and just taking a moment to feel the warmth from these suns, the heat from these suns. You might just be working with the sun in our solar system. But imagining that the rays of the sun, the rays of all of these suns, begin to spiral together. And they begin to pour like honey over the crown of your head. So this, like, solar honey just begins to wash and pour over your crown, beginning to pour over the back of your neck, down the back of your heart, over your brow, over your throat, and beginning to just soak your physical body, your emotional body, and your etheric body with this solar magic. And as it pours over your entire being and through your energy field, it invites you to just receive this nourishment, this creation energy, this illumination. And you might even imagine that your skin, your muscles, your bones, your organs, all of your meridian centers begin to just soak up and be bathed in the sunlight, this, like, solar honey, all the way down to your feet. And then I'll invite you to envision that you have your own sun. Maybe it's behind your solar plexus, maybe it's in the center of your heart. But imagining that you can begin to radiate that sun energy from within, and that radiance just begins to extend beyond your physical form, and it begins to encompass you. And envisioning that you are at the heart of your own sun. You're right in the center. And receiving the solar energy, the solar magic from above, while also radiating from within. And just allowing your own expression of your own sun to expand and radiate outward. Maybe it fills your space. Maybe you see it radiating and washing over your altar, different areas of your life, your own garden. And just noticing what gets illuminated, just taking a moment and noticing what's being illuminated at this time. What's growing? What is in abundance or wanting to be in abundance? What's wanting to be created with this energy? Where does it want to be directed? And then just taking a moment to allow that solar energy from above to effortlessly lift. You can still stay connected to it, but just allowing it to lift slightly while still maintaining that connection to your own expression of the sun. And taking a breath in, you can begin to arrive back into your space. And coming back whenever you're ready. All right. So we're gonna shift gears and we're gonna do a brand new segment that we're really excited about called Space Daddy and Friends. This is gonna be a part of the podcast that we interview spirits, which I'm super excited about. And today, I'm going to be doing some interviewing with fire dragons, dragons of the sun. I felt like it was wanting to come forward because it's been coming up a lot as we're nearing the summer solstice. It's been coming up a lot in conversations, in tarot readings I've been doing, in rituals I've been doing. And I actually wanted to read an excerpt from a book that I have called Witchcraft and Sorcery of the Balkans by Radomir Hristic. So I wanted to share a little bit about dragons, specifically fire dragons from this region, and just naming that there are many types of dragons. There are dragons from multiple different regions and cultures and magical traditions. And this specifically, it says in Serbian mythology, there are at least three different kinds of dragons. The first are dragons identified as meteors in the sky, and they are considered to be personifications of fire, which is really cool to think about because what this tells me is that these are star beings that are fallen from the sky who become dragons. A second type encompasses the reptile dragons or serpents, similar to those found in Western Europe, highly feared by humanity. And in most cases, they are winged serpents. They are highly intelligent and behave in similar fashion to dragon people, possessing the same powers and capabilities. A third type is the dragon people. In the context of witchcraft of Southern Eastern Europe, they are kind who interest us here. This is an excerpt from a Balkan song, which says, of the many Serbian heroes there are, all have been raised by fairies and many have dragons for fathers. So today I'm going to be doing a little interview and inviting in some fire dragons, specifically dragons of the sun, to chat a little bit about dragon life. You know, dragons, if you have a relationship with them, you can work with them during the summer solstice or through the summer months. I really like working with dragons specifically with clearing or curse breaking. And so those are often ways that they come to me, but I feel like, you know, maybe other people have different relationships with them. I do connect with them as star beings. So that is my personal relationship with the dragons that I work with or have connection with. But, you know, there are like water dragons, there's different types of dragons. And I think of serpents or snakes as a form of dragons as well. Ilva, do you like dragons? You better say yes, because they're here.
Well, good thing I actually really do love dragons. Mm. I love dragons so very much. They're so cool. So yeah, I love dragons. I think of them as our ancestors. Yeah.
I feel that too. I think of them as ancestor too, specifically around like star being ancestors. Or like, I love what, is like talked about, like them being like meteors in the night sky. And I really connect with that. So today I'm going to be interviewing some dragons. Yeah, so today specifically, I'm going to be focusing on fire dragons, dragons from the sun, really wanted to come in. And my first question that I have getting on the mic here, where did you come from? And what I'm hearing is that they come from the heart of the sun. It's not even just from our solar system, but they're interplanetary, would we call it intergalactic?
We would.
We could call that intergalactic travel, that they come from other like galaxies, other solar systems, and there's kind of a whole dragon brigade. I'm seeing that as the dragon brigade. But essentially they are birthed from the heart of the sun. My next question, Space Daddy here, what is your favorite magical power? This is really a fun question. Let me just listen to what they have to say. There's a magical power that they're showing me that is a breath of fire. And they're laughing when they're saying this because it's really interesting. There's like a joyfulness, a celebration to this fire breath or this like fire breathing, that they're showing me that all obstacles can be cleared through this fire breathing. So they can clear like hindrance in the road that I could, you know, apply this maybe to like a path clearing, right? So we can clear the path, open the road through the breath of fire or through this like really intense like transformation energy that's coming from the like the depths of their like belly is what they're showing me. They're also showing me that like celebration is part of the magical power. So it's like bringing a certain levity to, I'm almost hearing like the finding the silver lining in circumstances that feel really hard. My next question is, Space Daddy, what kind of offerings do you like? Fire. Anything that represents the sun or the element of fire. I'm being shown like stones, like pyrite, that kind of gold stone, citrine. They're showing me kind of more like fossils. Like, and I know this about star beings because like star beings often like those eggshells, like fossils and like, I don't know what they're called when they're like that fossil of like the shell. Do you know what they're called?
They're called Ammonites, yeah.
Ammonite! And then Dragon's Blood Incense. Oh, they're also saying dragon fruit. So that's...
Oh, like fuel.
Ooh, like gasoline?
Is that so silly? In my mind,
no,
I'm like,
that...
wow, what about fuel? Light it up, baby.
Yeah, yeah, like set it on fire.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
I can imagine like some sort of like oil or like.
What about like an oil lamp, like an oil lamp that you make, mm-hmm. and you can like put prayers and petitions in and put like essential oils in it.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. There's also this technique. I saw this on the internet. I cannot remember the source. So, yeah, just wanted to name that. That you can take an orange and then half it and then scoop out the fruit of the orange, pour oil into the rind of the orange, and then use that like rind as a candle wick.
Oh, that's cool. Please be safe.
Mm-hmm. Please be safe. Yes. My last question
please,
is...
no dragon offering unattended.
But absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes. Note to self. Yes. any tips for dragon curious witches who might want to get to know you better? Let me listen. So interestingly enough, what they're saying is that they're really great to be invited into the dream space. That you can work with them in dream magic. So I think that's really cool. It's like that, you know, that imagery of like the meteor in the night sky, like the nighttime magic, like midnight magic, dream realm magic, feels like that could be a really great introduction. I'm really hearing that just beginning to create relationship with them by inviting them into your space and working with them in fire magic and solar magic. And there's a little bit of like a warning that comes with this, that they're not great at gauging like how powerful they are. Like they might come in hot.
Maybe like erotic dream work.
Yeah.
Maybe even like with sex magic.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely see that like that thread to like, yeah, like sex magic and like eroticism with the fire dragons specifically. Yeah. I think that they're really great to work with when there's kind of like a specific thing that you're wanting to do. So if like your intention is very focused, that's what I noticed with them. Like they really like a very strong and focused intention of like, okay, there's a task or like there's like this thing that wants to happen. I think that they can also be worked with in like a playful way too, where you're like just inviting them in. Like there's like an introduction relationship building. I mean, I feel that way with a lot of different types of spirits and relationship tending with spirits in general. But yeah, maybe beginning by like just inviting them into your dream space could be cool.
Thanks, Space Daddy and Dragons.
Yes, thank you, Dragons. Thank you for coming to our podcast. They're like, we want to be on the internet.
And now they are.
Now they are.
Oh, when the spells they'll be sound.
Come and find me, come and find me.
Well, this next segment is called Altars Up Witches, in honor of our first podcast, Altars Up Witches, which is still this podcast, but now it's the Living Altar Podcast. And this is the segment of our podcast where we discuss current events and other cultural phenomena or ephemera. So, magic is queer. Let's talk about it, Space Daddy.
Let's talk about it.
Magic is fucking queer. If you are practicing magic, you're gay. Sorry.
It makes sense because nature is queer. And it just makes sense that magic is also queer. I think a lot of practices that we work with, I feel like come very effortlessly to those who are queer, like glamoring, shape-shifting, all those like practices that we work with, you know, and are integrated into the magical realms, I feel are inherently queer. What do you think?
I agree. I feel like magic as an aspect of nature, as the vital force that moves through us, there's so many different ways that magic expresses itself, and there's so many different ways that people come to its practice, and there's so many ways that people find belonging through magic and connection through the development of relationship with the natural world and the spirit world and with others who are also seeking to tend those relationships. I almost feel like coming to magic or coming to the identity of witch is in a way very akin to experiences I've had of exploring my gender, exploring my sexuality. And I think that the deeper into my practice of magic that I have gone as a trans woman, as a non-binary trans woman, as a queer woman, I have learned more about those identities as well. And I've had to apply what I've learned and what I know about magic to the fostering of my identities as a queer person, as a trans person, and also in service to queer and trans collective spaces, that I've had to learn how to use my magic and to support those identities, not only by enriching myself and community through magic in those identities, but also protecting us and also wielding magic, this natural force, this natural desire to belong, this natural desire to relate, to connect, to care, using that force to address, combat, transmute any aberrant force that is trying to disconnect us, that is trying to deny our existence, that is trying to force us into a less expansive relationship dynamic with self and others, you know? So I feel like magic as a force of nature is absolutely queer in my experience. And I find that my experience of queerness and transness deeply enriches my experience as witch and my experiences with magic and the spirits, and vice versa. I find them to be interchangeable and almost inseparable. And, you know, I came to witchcraft in the 90s. You know, we're similar in age, so we kind of grew up in that whole gender essentialist, biological essentialist, gender reductionist spiritual framework of like masculine, dynamic, feminine, receptive. And that rigidity has always fostered a cis heteronormative narrative of witchcraft and magic that is very exclusionary, very insular, and very specific to a particular kind of human expression. It's not particularly universal. It's not particularly expansive, and never quite fit for me. I never really kind of came to a relationship, magical relationships in that framework with, or even relationships with other witches in that framework that were long lasting. And it wasn't until I started to really deepen in my relationship with queerness and queer collective spaces that I was able to even find a community of witchcraft. Does that make sense? Like, I found both at the same time, like queer community, trans community, and magical community. Even though I am part of many different kinds of magical spaces, I never really felt invited or belonging in the ones that did not honor the queerness of nature.
That makes so much sense. I feel like queerness and magic both, for the most part, exist outside of the binaries and seek to dismantle binaries. So I think about queerness and also magic as invoking time magic. There's this like liminality that happens with both. And that's why I feel like there's so much like magic is queer, because like there's this like inherent like anti-binary in magic, right? Likewise with queerness and the embodiment of queerness. And so, yeah, I feel like it's magic is like inherently non-binary. So yeah, it makes sense to me. And we're able to access like different timelines or even existing outside the construct of time by capitalistic standards, you know, and structures, like kind of like existing outside of that system to explore or, you know, do magic or whatnot. So to me, it makes sense.
I love the idea that you brought up about, queerness, some of the powers, the magical powers of queerness, being glamour magic, being shape-shifting. Mm-hmm. I feel like glamoring, the practice of glamour magic, the power of shifting our form or the perception of ourselves, shifting the way we're perceived by others through magical means and ritual means, psychic projection, psychic manipulation, energetic shields, et cetera, however we engage glamour magic and shape-shifting, I absolutely see those as strengths of queer and trans people. We are constantly having to define ourselves against something else. We can never just simply exist as who we are. We're always something other than. So with that, we've had to learn to be very creative with our languaging and be very creative with the symbols that we take on for ourselves, both the symbols that we invent, but let's be real, it's the symbols that we repurpose that were leveraged against us by the things we are named in opposition to, cisness, straightness. The idea of being able to take what is given, whether it represents you or not, and to manipulate it. If we can't manipulate the circumstances of it, we manipulate the implications of it or the impact of it within us and around us into things that are absolutely beautiful. And that's why we have these rich language of symbols within queer culture, and like just how symbolic queerness is, how symbolic our languaging is, how multisensory our languages are as queer people, the universality of queer coding, the ways that we communicate ourselves to others, and the way that that's constantly evolving is very, very magical. That kind of glamour is gorgeous. That kind of shape-shifting is our strength, especially when so much of our identity is co-opted by the people who have forced labels upon us as well.
Would we maybe be able to say that queerness is a realm within itself, and that there's a collective, like there's a collective kind of thought form, or like there's this collective mind that we share, and it's like a whole world within itself, and there's like this realm that things get like communicated and passed on, and like maybe it's where like the queer ancestors live, you know, and exist. But it makes me think that there's this like magical realm that's queerness within itself. That's very fantastical.
Absolutely. I love that idea. I think we can absolutely say that. I think we should say that.
Yeah.
Beautiful thought.
Yeah. It's cool to think about that. It's like its own, yeah, like fantastical, imaginative realm that has like, what do you call it? Like a group thought or like a field of consciousness. Yeah.
There's so many different ways of entering into that realm, which makes queerness such a beautiful concept. And of course, so inviting. Many of us have had to find invitation. And we have to remember too, that when we enter into that place, no matter who we are, you know, if we are queer people, trans people, or if we are allies, I guess, and we find ourselves in that realm, we have to remember like, it is an invitation that we have received somehow, and that we have arrived there in the ways that we have been invited by self, by spirits, but also these realms have been cultivated and tended to by generations of ancestors before us, generations and generations of trans ancestors and queer ancestors who at some point in time in history were revered, and then those also who were forced into assimilation within binarism, and those who had fought for generations to liberate our collective consciousness around our ability to express and simply live as queer and trans people, and us now who are living here in that very beautiful and challenging, complicated transitional space of the resurgence of queer and trans sacredness as a given, you know? as an abject reality. Mm-hmm. Not to be denied, not to be ignored, not to be pathologized. Yeah. I've got many a pathology, but my queerness and transness aren't. So I love this idea of queerness mm-hmm. as a realm.
Yeah. Wow. I could really kind of go into this. So I wanted to just make note and raise up some history of Pride being Pride Month. And I wanted to name and talk about a couple of queer ancestors that are very important that really paved the way for us to be here now. I wanted to talk about and name Martha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. Both were queer trans women who were living in New York City in the late 60s. They were also leaders and activists of the queer movements for many years leading up to the Stonewall riots. The Stonewall riots were an uprising that began on June 28th of 1969, when the New York City police raided the Stonewall Inn. The Stonewall Inn was a gay club in Greenwich Village. And this raid sparked and ignited a riot among the patrons and activists. And this riot lasted about 6 days, and it was a catalyst for the queer rights movement at the time in this country, in New York City. And specifically, I wanted to note that both Martha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, who were leaders in this riot or this movement, they also co-founded STAR, which was a shelter for houseless trans youth that it was funded by both of them doing sex work. So we really have these like queer trans ancestors that were also sex workers. Just wanting to note that Martha P. Johnson was a Black trans woman, and it's really important to acknowledge that that this was part of that movement as well, that this is someone who was also experiencing discrimination on multiple different levels. So these are trans ancestors and queer ancestors that really revolutionized our rights today and are incredibly important in acknowledging during Pride. We wouldn't be able to be here and be celebrating Pride if it wasn't for them. So I just want to really acknowledge that and raise that up during this time.
Thank you for doing that and saying so, and bringing our altars to a reverent place for our transistors. So Pride as witches is also a really powerful time for us to focus this energy of Pride as a ritual in honor not only of our queer and trans communities that we are fostering, it's also a way of honoring our trans ancestors and queer ancestors and our history. So make your altar, feed that altar.
And we wanted to note a couple of organizations that are really great. And so these could be places that you direct your financial resources.
Down here in Orleans, there's House of Tulip, which provides zero barrier housing, case management, linkage to care and community programming to trans and gender nonconforming people in need of safe spaces to stay while they're growing the supply of affordable housing in New Orleans. In Louisiana, 1 in 3 trans people face and experience active homelessness. And the House of Tulip is currently raising funds to buy and restore a multifamily property in the New Orleans area, that it will be accessible to healthcare, employment opportunities, and community. They're also working on acquiring a separate community center space where trans and gender nonconforming people can safely access social safety net and navigate community programming, get a hot meal, a shower, or just find a safe space to hang out and do schoolwork. So we're gonna put the link to donating in the show notes.
A really great place to direct your funds is towards the Lavender Rights Project, which is located in Seattle, Washington, and serves Washington State. And I'm reading directly from their website. So the Lavender Rights Project elevates the power, autonomy, and leadership of the Black, intersex, and gender diverse community through intersectional legal and social services. We utilize the law as an organizing principle to affirm our civil rights and self-determination. So that would be a great, really, we'll put it in the show notes. These are both great places to direct your money. All right. Are we at that split? Well, that's my life.
Well, that's my
for joining us for this conversation today. Make sure to follow our guest and follow us on Instagram at The Living Altar for more information and upcoming rituals and conversations.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a comment and some positive feedback for this podcast, and tune in for new episodes.